Hello everyone, I'm Tara and we're discussing international business environment. As part of this, we have touched on the examples of various countries which are multinational corporations or transnational corporations which are operating outside of their home countries and indulging in international trade, which is both ways. MNCs operating in India and Indian companies operating outside. So when a company or a conglomerate decides to get into international business, what are the various factors they have to take into account? One formula obviously cannot apply to everyone. We have enough success stories, but at the same time, we have enough flops also, which we'll be touching on. So let's look at some of the aspects of international strategy that have to be kept in mind for successful outcomes of international expansions which happen. So let's look at some of these factors. Now, what we are trying to learn is what is the concept of international strategic planning? What all are the various elements which can make it a success? What are the various stages which are required, which a company has to go through for a planning and then for planning and then eventual expansion of this business internationally? So looking at the case of Suzuki, now we have been familiar with Suzuki in India for decades and decades with the Maruti Suzuki tie-up. But does that mean that because they have this old association and success, they will not evolve? If that would be their mindset, then their partnerships and their businesses in India would, come to a standstill. To grow, they cannot stay stagnant, whether it's in terms of products, whether it's in terms of evolution of markets, evolution of products, evolution of production facilities. So now the new focus in their next five-year plan, interestingly, also incorporates a case for electronic vehicles. We are aware of how EVs are becoming popular all over the world, also with the carbon footprint and emissions that countries and companies are trying to reduce to help our planet. Because of that, also there is a shift towards EVs. I think if you just look around your building societies in Mumbai or Delhi, I think practically every building now would have a few EVs parked in their complexes. So if in a country like India, a state like UP, where though it is one of the most popular states in the country, though we do not associate that with as much modernity and as many lifestyle requirements as possibly a Maharashtra or a Karnataka. However, interestingly, the maximum demand in India for EVs is coming from UP. So obviously, Suzuki is very aware that there is a demand. They should evolve. They should invest in their R&D for this. They should plan for it and make sure that their portfolio includes this so that they do not lose out on this market share. Also, their planning would involve where to set up their production facilities, how much to invest in it, how much to produce, where to offer, what kind of pricing, which distribution networks to use. So there would be a lot of elements involved in this international strategy. Now, in the case of Suzuki, they are a company that is already present in India, has been present in India for a very long time, is familiar with Indian culture, Indian way of doing business, Indian marketplace, Indian consumer. And yet they would have a lot of thought which would go into their new portfolio evolution. So then, what about companies who are first entrants into India? So companies which have never operated in India before, can you imagine how much of analysis and strategy planning would go into their expansion plans to operate in India, when even a company which has operated here for the longest time needs to invest so much in their strategy on how to evolve and continue to retain, if not grow, their market presence in the country. So let's see some of the elements which are involved, whether it's languages, time zones, currencies, cultural aspects, pricing aspects, various aspects which competition, regulations, taxation, things which drive international business strategy. Now, there is a lot of preparation, research, homework, understanding in the homework phase, which is your preparation phase. And then, let's say you choose to go ahead with it, is your implementation phase. And then you have to evaluate that what you have implemented, is it giving you the desired result, or you need to step back and reassess it and see how to maybe change if it's not working out, or maybe change if it can better. So, for example, Starbucks, which we are now very familiar with all over India, Starbucks first tried to enter India in 2007 with a tie-up with the Future Group, but that fell through. Now, the motivations for that falling through could have been so many in terms of partnering with the Indian firm, differences in business practices, differences in, or disagreements on terms and conditions, revenue sharing, other kind of support, or purely in terms of government or regulatory aspects which didn't work out for Starbucks. So eventually they entered almost 5 to 6 years post that 2007 attempt, which didn't work out. Today we are familiar with them, and today they are a successful chain in India. But you see that their strategy was not an easy stepping stone. It didn't happen as smoothly as they had envisaged. Now, countries like Australia and Israel have not responded well to Starbucks, and that's surprising because the world over they have like in excess of 30,000 chains across so many countries, and it's become like McDonald's. It's a very acceptable standard brand, but their strategy did not work in countries like Australia, where pricing, pace, etc., did not work out for the local people. So there is preparation, implementation, evaluation. There are a lot of companies which have exited countries, re-entered, exited, re-entered. So there is a lot of work which is constantly required. This work could come from so many different aspects, as we are saying, distances, cultures, geographies, time zones, business patterns. When we talked about doing business in countries like Japan, there are so many cultural sensitivities, right from gifting, right from colors, right from business card exchanges, etc., which one has to be sensitive to. When McDonald's came into India, McDonald's had a lot of problem with respect to the fats and the oils used in our in their cooking, because we need fats and oils which do not offend the Indian religious sentiments and the cultural sentiments. So there were controversies about that. Even the menu, India is probably the only country where McDonald's has such a where McDonald's has McAloo Tikki and some of the other vegetarian offerings. So while they are known for their consistency the world over in terms of product offering, and while that consistency is one of the reasons why they have been successful the world over, at the same time in India they had to step away from that consistency and one not offer certain products like Big Mac, where because beef is not permitted in India and hurts our sentiments, and also at the same time offer vegetarian products, which you will not find in McDonald's anywhere else in the world. So you have to adopt what the local requirements are for your strategy to go right. There are core competencies which have to be enhanced before you implement your R&D, marketing, etc. Now, to give you an example, Mattel entered China in 2009, and while we are familiar with Mattel toys world over, and you know, Barbie, which is a flagship doll of the Mattel company, and kids love it all over the world, clearly not enough research went into this decision to expand into China, because in China, the Barbie doll wasn't really popular and wasn't that appreciated, even though they introduced a Chinese Barbie to attract the interest of the children in China. Mattel eventually had to exit, and they spent about $30 million over those 2 years that they stayed there, and did not actually find it a successful venture at all. So a lot has to go into the enhancing your core competencies to suit the local environment, or to work in the local environment. And over and above the competencies, also sometimes impatience works against companies. So in a rush to enter a market, sometimes the time is not taken to step back and assess whether it's even a viable venture or not. As in the case of Kingfisher, where there was this urgency to conquer the international skies and compete with all the international airlines and, you know, expand to the international routes. And we saw how badly that affected Kingfisher, and where it took its debt obligations and eventually grounded the airline. So impatience is not rewarding at all when it comes to international expansion. Now, companies might want to come in because of geographic location, because of new brands, acquiring new brands, through joint ventures, etc. We were talking about JVs in previous chapters, and tie-ups. Now, for example, Apple shifted there. Apple has a very large production facility for their iPhone in Karnataka. Now, the location, in addition to having a skilled, lower-cost workforce, obviously works very well from an economies of scale point of view, from a supply point of view. Because also, if you see, if their production is happening in India, also India is where the demand for iPhone is very huge. Just 1 or 2 days ago, iPhone 16 was launched. And the queues outside the Bandra Kurla BKC Apple store in Mumbai were hours and hours long, and there were people who don't just want the iPhone 16, they want it on the day of launch. There were people who had come from other parts of Maharashtra to stand in that queue. So you see, from a geographical location point of view, India works very well for an Apple, because while your supply and production is happening here, you don't have to spend too much on your transport and distribution and logistics, because your consumer is also here. So that could also be a consideration into your why you strategically choose to tap into the Indian market. Why is there a need for strategic planning? Because one formula doesn't fit all. You have to have an evolving, dynamic strategy which will respect the requirements of the local region. And also, you have to be willing to step back, assess, and see if something is not working for you, move on. For example, in India, we were familiar with Disney Hotstar, which we know as Hotstar. Now, Disney has, for its own reasons and strategy, chosen to exit and sold their stake to Reliance. So they have chosen to offload and exit. Likewise, Hathaway, Berkshire Hathaway, chose to sell its stake in Paytm last year. So there are reasons where companies decide to exit as well. which is also part of a strategy, because just because you made a decision and you just stick to it for the sake of saying that it wasn't a decision which didn't go very well, can be detrimental to the business as a whole. There are, of course, as with anything else, there are long-term and short-term strategic motivations which affect all businesses and all countries. The more volatile a market is, obviously, there is more work required in terms of the strategy in tapping into this market, in operating in this market. There are shocks globally and domestically, like COVID, like wars, like various other recessions, etc. Business strategies have to be ready to deal with these and implement these in their expansion plans. Now, other aspects of strategic decisions are, there could be alliances, mergers, wholly owned subsidiaries, partnerships. Yesterday, in an earlier chapter, we had spoken about Modern Foods of Singapore, which has a 100% subsidiary supplying, which is supplying bread, a very, very popular bread in southern India, which is accessible at, available at almost 70,000 outlets. So here there was a strategy to have this 100% subsidiary, whereas there could be elsewhere, there could be a partnership where it is not a sole ownership. There could be a different strategic alliance which could be there. When we had spoken about franchising, that is or licensing, those are not necessarily, especially licensing is not necessarily a capital intensive strategy, and it's more of a strategic alliance where one company is allowing another company and possibly in another country to use its brand, to use its logo, to sell products, merchandises, etc. and receives a royalty or an upfront payment for it, but doesn't have to supply capital, etc. So there could be alliances of different with different strategic motivations. There are elements of strategic planning which have to set the priorities. You have a company has a limited number of resources. Those have to be optimized. You cannot allocate resources to all segments. If you enter a certain country and you indulge in international expansion, then you don't have to necessarily offer all your products, all your divisions in that new country. You can focus on some and not focus on some. You will have to adjust as per the requirements of that company. And of course, as I said, you have to keep reviewing and monitoring the future of how your expansion and business is progressing. Because if things are not going right, you have to be ready to step back and take corrective steps also, whether it is an extreme of exiting a country or in some cases, maybe modifications, product modifications, messaging and marketing modifications. Maybe there is a certain message which is not ringing right with a certain country, or re-messaging, or also in some cases modifying your product. Very important aspects of strategic planning are what is the motivation of this organization, who does it serve, who are its customers, what does it do, why does it do this, and all of these elements together will help the long-term strategy and long-term success of a company. For example, we are all familiar with Red Bull, the energy drink. Now, for the longest time, I thought Red Bull was an American brand, but it's not. Turns out it's an Austrian brand. And initially, it started out as a very small exporter. And, it would give out free cans to adrenaline, junkies, energy junkies. And then the way their messaging has worked across the world. Whenever someone talks about energy drink, the first drink that comes to my mind is Red Bull, because of Red Bull gives you wings, even though there are so many competitors in the market. Now, from being the small Austrian brand, they actually have business of more than, they have sales of more than $2 billion a year now. And sitting in India, I have been familiar with Red Bull for decades, and I can go and buy a Red Bull at any local outlet. So you see what their message is. Red Bull is equal to instant energy. Who is it serving? If I want an energy boost, yes. If, you know, I want an electrolyte, but if I want a exciting drink, I go for a Red Bull. So what an organization is and how it conveys its image to the audience is a very important aspect of your strategic planning. The framework of resources, how you are planning to achieve your goals, the statement of your goals and objectives to your various stakeholders and also to your consumers gives clarity. When we were talking about General Motors and how General Motors hasn't fared very well in India and has entered and exited, faced a lot of strikes, all of those things. One of the reasons is that people are confused about their image. There have been a lot of product recalls. There have been a lot of changes of CEOs. So even though that is, they may have convinced their stakeholders and shareholders and investors of those decisions, their audience, the consumers, are not clear about what their real goal or objective in India is. So these elements, both on the stakeholder side and on the consumer side, become important. In the 21st century, a lot of things are changing. Technology has become very important. Communications has become very, very important. So strategy is going to have to take these into account very, very heavily. For example, let's look at Netflix. Netflix initially started out as they would send DVDs. Physical DVDs would actually come to your, you know, you would go to the library and order physical DVDs. And this is when they were mainly operating in the US. They never had the DVD model in India or elsewhere. And I remember in the US ordering DVDs, movie DVDs, watching them and then putting them back in the mail, within a certain time frame. And that is how they used to operate. And then now they are completely digital. Now they are operating, they have subtitles in almost 62 languages. And we know their library, how wide it is. And within India itself, it's not just about free membership, but paid subscribers are into millions and millions, tens of millions. So Netflix is a very, very iconic example in terms of strategic planning in the 21st century, where they have responded to the digitalization of the global economy and digitalization of business, and hence they have been successful in almost 190 countries and constantly increasing. Even though they change their payment model, they also put restrictions on their password sharing and all of those things, yet they have continued to grow. So information technology, communications, etc., have become a very, very important element of international expansion and strategy planning. Now, likewise, as I'm talking about Netflix operating in India, likewise, Bollywood is a very large industry. But Bollywood is in which language? Hindi. And actually, there are entities like Shemaru who have very large segments where they are dubbing and subtitling these Bollywood movies in languages, global languages, including Hebrew, and making these movies available to an audience all over the world. So we may not be aware of it sitting here because we see the Bollywood movie in Hindi, but actually so many people sitting in other parts of the world are watching those movies in their languages. So that has been possible because of what? Because of being aware, because of keeping in mind, staying on top of your technological communication requirements and using those to be able to create a market where you can export your movie watching experience, Bollywood movie experience to audiences across the world. Services, of course, in a span of 50 years since independence, we saw service sector in India, how it grew. And yes, the share in GDP is immense, but still in terms of employment, agriculture, manufacturing, etc. are still very, very large employers. But when it comes to strategic planning, one has to keep in mind how employment aspects will come into the picture when you're dealing with a country in India. We keep hearing about MNCs having to deal with strike situations, days of no work happening, labor union issues, etc. And obviously, there is some gap there in the understanding of how the Indian mindset works. For example, one of the MNCs which is facing a massive strike right now in Maharashtra, they have bought out the subsidiary of another MNC, and the employees, the labor is striking, saying that the employees of the entity which has been bought out should all be absorbed in the new entity, which may not have been in the plans of the buying entity, because they obviously must have done some business planning, cost consideration, and that may or may not be workable for them. So all of these elements have to be taken into account, especially in the services industry. Various other elements of strategic planning are keeping sight of the culture, process, structure, having leadership that is not seen as being out of touch or arrogant, and leadership that is seen as being very aligned with and in sync with local cultures of the local culture and understanding of the country in consideration. Now, because of companies who get this strategy right, is where we have success stories like the Tata Group, which is a 63 billion conglomerate. So companies and conglomerates who have managed to get it right respect all these elements, have respected all these elements of business, international strategy planning. Having said that, even the Tata Group has faced challenges with certain elements of their businesses. For example, Tata Nano was not really received very well internationally, and Tata Group faced challenges with respect to their Nano project. And but as a whole, they're obviously operating with a very sharp strategic plan across their business areas, across countries. Now, we are all familiar with Airbnb, which made international travel a lot more affordable to a larger group of people versus staying in hotels, which makes it very expensive. So if you were to pay for a mid-range hotel, if you were to pay $100-$110 in London for a day, £100-110, maybe you could find a home stay through an Airbnb in a room where you would end up paying maybe £30-35. Airbnb became such a huge success world over. But a country like China, where obviously Airbnb would have loved to be a success, because obviously you want to have a market with the most populous country in the world, and you want you want visitors in China to be using it. But in China, Airbnb flopped because they checked out of China, because in China, there was a language barrier. There were issues with people staying, damaging property, payments issues, and with those damages, compensation not coming in. So the customer support framework in China for Airbnb did not work out. So actually Airbnb was not successful in China at all, which would have been quite disappointing for them, because it's a huge market that you are losing out on. Versus that, in India, they have been doing quite fine. So when you are talking about expanding, growing, you see how between two neighbors they succeeded in one, didn't succeed in the other. So your strategy has to take so many elements into account. Culture obviously becomes extremely important. We are talking about McDonald's repeatedly. IKEA, as I told you, offers certain products in certain parts of the world, which they do not offer in India, because it would, those products, the raw materials of those products would hurt our sentiments. And so they have taken into account and kept the cultural aspects into account. Now, when we talk about religious holidays, we have a lot of religious holidays in India. And an MNC can't come in here and try to operate without respecting the requirement for those leave considerations on those festivals. So various elements come into the cultural aspect and strategic planning. Cross-cultural elements, ethical standards, interdependencies, all of these have to be kept in mind. Elements of process which should go into strategic planning should allow an organization to ensure that there are procedures for data analysis, information gathering, quality control, payment systems are effective, multi-location teams. Now, when we were talking about Unilever as a successful brand with 400 brands being popular across countries and almost 3.5 billion people across the world using their products on a daily basis, then clearly their thinking globally, act locally philosophy has helped their expansion a lot. And this is where we are talking about. This is where you will understand multi-location teams and multi-location information systems. They have, to a very large extent, for the success of their products, decentralized those teams and delegated to local teams, local infrastructure and local information systems. So planning, strategic planning, which involves these processes, can be very advantageous to a company. Now, when it comes to rules, procedures, reporting, your management information system, your MIS, you have to have an optimum balance between central and decentralized. As I was giving you the example of Unilever, there is an for the penetration that they have achieved, especially in a country like India, with our rural-urban divide and with our population numbers, obviously there is a very carefully thought out strategy in terms of how they will manage their structure, right from their head office to those decentralized local teams on the ground, which are contributing to their success. In structure, you have various elements which come into play. You have to ensure that even if you have a decentralized system, there is an overall watch being kept on it in terms of periodical visits. There is encouragement of the local personnel. There is motivation. There are motivations for good performance, motivations for delivering. There is support to local and regional personnel. They should not feel like operating, even if they are operating in a small rural semi-urban segment, they should not feel that they do not have support. They are not supported at the topmost level of the organization. And these elements should be taken into account for all levels of personnel along the structure, along the organization's structure, aligning to that joint goal of making the company successful.